Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, as we consider our life, we give you great thanks for the many blessings. We ask for our Lord's wisdom to guide us in these coming days, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It will take me a few minutes to quickly review our situation in life as the events go on around us. And we talk to our neighbors, we listen to the media, and we listen to the news. And we make decisions and plans based on what we understand is going on around us. So we have the things of the Spirit with God through Jesus Christ, and we have the things of this world going on all around us. And we know that eternity is longer than life. So we want our decisions to first to show that we completely follow Jesus Christ in word and in deed. And then as the distractions in life go on, we want to re-examine our obedience to Jesus Christ as we seek to stay on the narrow path described in Matthew chapter 7. There is so much going on in our world, and it appears that Christ followers are on a narrow path to Jesus, but the world is on a wide path to destruction. And so we pray and we ask for protection for ourselves and wisdom in a path to Jesus Christ for the ones who do not yet know Jesus. And so, in life, we experience trouble. We experience all sorts of complications, and we want to avoid the complications, and we want our mindset to identify with Jesus Christ and to avoid the troubles of the world. So that's what I think about, too. I think, what is coming, and how do we avoid it? In these days, there is so much going on that is unstable in the world. And I think about what we can do to stay, well, protected, to stay with the goodness that is around us and the people around us also to have that goodness of life, ultimately through Jesus Christ, but also just about the things in life. How do we have enough to eat, have warmth, and have a relation in the community? Well, there are all sorts of people who have all sorts of answers to what we ought to be doing, and let us read the Bible and be guided by what the Bible tells us. And you know that God allows things to happen, which is why there is evil in the world. And yet we want to know the truth, and we want to follow Jesus Christ. Our Bible shows us that there are people all around that are, well, they have different ideas about what to do and what their future will hold. Often there are people who have very different opinions than we have. And often there are people who have a good and godly idea of the future. They promote the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we want to also do that as we go through life, with all the life struggles that there are around us. Now we see the examples of life. We get a pretty good idea of what the Bible requires of us, and we want to follow our biblical example all the way into heaven with Jesus. Oh, yes. Well, I also think of the Bible in Matthew, Mark, and Luke talking about the end of the age and what there will be. Well, war, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes. That's the general way of saying it. But all of these things have different implications of what is coming. And at what point are we? We don't know. But we know that the end of the age gets closer and closer, and so there are things that will get ready to happen with war, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes. Is it really happening now? Well, we don't really know, but there are birth pangs that come about as the intensity of these events will increase. And so we think about what can we do to avoid the difficulties that come with war, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes. Yes, let's avoid the pain, and let's help others to avoid that pain as we understand the truth of the Bible, the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And then we get to tell others about the truth that we know, which is the biblical truth. And of course, we want to have people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, know him as our Savior and as who we follow all the way into heaven in the midst of this life that has distractions in it. It has troubles in it. And some things are actually dramatic or traumatic. That's the world in which we live. And we want to cling tightly to Jesus, become a follower of Jesus with love in our heart and compassion for the people around us. And yet, through life, we deal with all sorts of things that people have, they're distracted by. They're distracted by their own desires. Oh, and we might be too. You might call them the lusts of the flesh. And somehow, we all seem to have a little bit of it, or some people have a lot of it. And yet our goal and desire is to follow Jesus Christ and not the lusts that we have. Whether those lusts have to do with the plain and basic things of life, like sleeping and eating and just living our life. But there are all sorts of lusts that people have. Some of it is a lust for violence even. And that's something we have to be aware of, that there are people with very ungodly desires in their mind, in their heart. And that's something which we want to protect ourselves from being around. We want to be around goodness and not destruction. So that's a part of what we do to form the life that we have, including the habits and the lifestyles, and to have them be godly and not worldly. That's what we do as we go through life, as we're faced with these strong forces that want to impose their will upon us, upon everybody. And some of them are government forces, and some of them are financial forces. And somehow, we have a mind for us to see and understand what we can do to avoid the trouble that other people or other entities or other, like governments or corporations, want to put upon us. And they have their own reasons for doing it. Some of it is just plain evil. Some of it is just plain for money. And some of it is just because they want to. It's a part of what we want to have the discernment to see, to understand, and then to avoid, so that we can really be followers of Jesus Christ. And we go right on living. Oh, and all over the world there are different people with different ideas. We see that too. In America it's different. In the Middle East or the Far East or in Europe or in Africa, it's all different. But there are people who will follow Jesus Christ, and there are people who just plain follow the world. That is the world we live in. It's different everywhere, or it's the same everywhere. You can see it both ways. But anyway, it's something that we all have to deal with. You know, that first thing in Matthew, Mark, and Luke is war and rumors of war. And we don't know if that means international war or shooting war or a nuclear war or a civil war or a war between religions. There are all of these things that are actually going on in the world right now, today. There are threats that we each face. Sometimes it is from people, and sometimes it is from a system. And sometimes it will affect our very life and the life of the loved ones we have. It might be a problem with our food supply or other kind of supply. Oh, how about gas supply? Yeah, it's all going on. And so we have this to deal with. Sometimes it's not easy to figure out how to get by with the conditions that are around us. After all, we have threats. Threats from foreign forces, or sometimes they're domestic forces. Sometimes it's terrorism, and sometimes it's just people who want what we have. And somehow we get to recognize the threats that are around us and see how to protect ourselves from whatever it is that they are projecting onto us. It could be evil, or it could be greed, or it could be anything. But remember that there are things going on around us that have a big picture and a little picture way of looking at things. Big picture is international. It's foreign forces, people that actually do want to kill us. Remember that there are people in the world who call the United States the big Satan, the great Satan, and Israel is the lesser Satan, the small Satan. And so, if you were faced with a earthly representation of Satan, of course you would want to kill, harm, or make useless whatever that satanic figure would be projecting. And the people of certain areas or religions consider another people to be evil and are willing to stop at basically nothing to destroy whatever it is. The evil in America, the evil in Israel, the evil in anywhere, Africa, the Middle East. And it is a very important thing for them to do in their own valuation of life. So, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to continue to live with people who literally want to destroy us? It's something which, again, takes thought, takes a plan, takes something so that we are going to live beyond what somebody else wants to impose on us. Yeah, it might be our own government, even. Our own government has ideas about how to contain the citizenry. And they have restrictions, of course, on what we can do. I mean, that's responsible. The government is to protect people, not to allow evil to live throughout society. Of course, it's how we interpret everything. For what is evil and how do you prevent it? There are people who consider Christians to be evil. And so it's something that we are going to have to deal with at some point in the future when we understand what people either like or demand of us. What is reasonable? What are God's laws? What are the beliefs of other people? Oh, well, we all get to be faced with the situations around us. And we seem to justify our own disobedience. And that's the other thing. Are we going to disregard God's laws? Are we going to think that killing is okay if it's a justified war? Are we going to think it's okay when we allow the killing of an embryo or a baby? When is that justified? I think the answers are in the heart of the man and the woman who make these decisions. And God will judge because he knows our heart completely. And then we get judged based on everything in our mind and our heart. I think of us as we certainly ask for mercy. And we also know that God expects us to be obedient to his word, to his will. And we get to figure out, how are we going to do that? As we look at things with a biblical perspective of knowing God's word and living it out. Some people think it's just too complicated to follow because all they want to do is follow their own heart. Well, we do that at our own peril. Everybody has their own ideas, but we have a book of truth to look at that will help us to understand. Both Old Testament and New gives us understanding, and I hope we all read that book. You can also listen to it on tape. That's something that makes it easy to, well, I'll call it reading the Bible, because we listen to it on tape, and we get more understanding. More and more understanding, because we want to know what God's view is. After all, it is God who is going to judge us for our eternal judgment. So we want to know what God has to say about what we do and how we obey him. In the midst of all the things going on in society, the things that are political, the things that are about money, the things that are about people and family. And somehow we have to just have a pretty good grasp of what God would say. Oh, yes, there's that old saying, what would Jesus do? And that's a part of it too. But we have a chance to learn that, not from other people, but from God's word, the Bible. That's such a good thing to read and seek understanding from, and then to live according to the will of Jesus, who is the Word. It is the Bible. All this, as we go through life with all the economic money problems that there are, and things are really out of balance in our economic life as a country, as a world, where there's so much debt going on, and the Bible tells us not to get into debt. But we do get into debt. We as people, we as a company, we as a city, a state, and a federal government. And somehow, when we do what God says not to do, there will be consequences. And that's part of what I think is all forming up to take place right now. Economic consequences, as we, as a country, have done things that God says not to do, and we have also had an unsound economy, again, based on what God has said either to do or not do. And what are the consequences going to be? Oh, that's what we all wonder. What kind of trouble is coming our way? I know not everybody would agree, but I suggest that we have a great fall coming. I think of chapter 18 of Revelation, where it describes the fall of Babylon the Great. So I would not be surprised one bit if that happened to us, all of us, and the systems around us. And what shall we do about that? Well, we want to be faithful to God through all the things that are coming, And then we want to be careful not to do what God says not to do. I think of the Church of Laodicea in Revelation 3:17. And it talks about that church having the sense that they are rich and that nothing will happen to them. And yet, we all need eyes to see right and wrong according to God through Jesus Christ. And therefore, we desperately need Jesus. And what are we doing to follow Jesus? As the things that are going on around us in life, we find out that there are consequences to our godly and ungodly actions. There can be rewards, there can be consequences. And I think of the four sword judgments of God in Ezekiel chapter 14. There is war and famine, and people and animals that are, they're dying. That's really what's happening. As the bread, the feed, is taken away from the land, and then there are plagues. Of course, when you don't have enough to eat, both animals and people die. So it's hard to predict that, but it is right in the pattern of what happens when people do not follow Jesus Christ and the biblical truth that we are instructed to follow. There's some things that are going to happen, and they are shaping up right now. And somehow we get to see what is coming, and therefore, how are we going to avoid what is coming? Perhaps as a nation, we are not going to be able to avoid it. Perhaps as individuals, we will all be affected. And yet, as individuals, there is something we can all do to prepare for what the Bible says is coming. War, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes. Well, that's to say it simply. Of course, you can read it in different parts of the Bible, but it is an idea of what happens when a nation or a people fall away from God. And so that's something that we can see what is coming. And I see them as warnings. God is warning his people about what is coming. And now, therefore, what shall we expect? Well, what do you expect when there's war, famine, and pestilence coming? Well, there's something that we can do to reduce war, famine, and pestilence, and that is to have a storehouse of supplies. Now, it might be for us and the people we love. It might be for the community, for the larger community even. And somehow there are things that are going on. And it's not that we know exactly what it is, because all sorts of things are going on. And how would there be famine going on? Just because God says it's coming doesn't mean that he made it happen, but he could allow the conditions that make it happen, just like our country is taking the water from the underground aquifers. And that means that we don't have the same cushioning of the earth that is going on. We have water that we have withdrawn from the underground aquifers. And so we don't have any more water for the farm use. We don't have the rivers that are flowing the way they used to, because the aquifers that would feed the rivers are not full enough to release water. there are things which are sensible, but we don't see them. And we might not even understand them. And maybe we can't understand, but we can certainly see something about what is going on. And it is an indicator of what can happen next. What should we do? Well, you know what we should do. Get a little supplies for if there is a famine, if there is a war, if there is pestilence. Well, do you really want to say if? After all, our Bible says it's coming. It's just that we don't know the timing on it in a way that we can understand. And we don't know that the rivers drying up would be a part of the famine, for instance. Or what about the shipping of fertilizer that is not going on all around the world right now? There's fertilizer from the Middle East, from China, from Russia, that the farmers need to have a good, productive crop of the grains that we farm in America and in other countries. The farmers need certain things like fertilizer, like water. And what happens if humanity has made it so that the conditions do not allow water or fertilizer to get from one place to the other? The crops fail. That's what happens. And if we don't have the food, we also know the next step. There will be famine. So does the Bible talk about this? Well, yes, in a general way it does. Most definitely, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So what does that mean we should do about it? I think it's wise to get a little prepared for what conditions our Bible tells us are coming. You know, there are rivers all around the world that are going dry. They are either drying up completely or they are so low that it's shocking. That this is going on everywhere in Iran, in India, in Jerusalem, I should say Israel, with the Jordan River. It's going on in rivers in Africa and America. In America, for instance, oh, this is a little problem because we get reports that have mixed information. Some reports say that the rivers and the aquifers are drying up. Their water in them is going away. The rivers will not be able to provide water to the cities that depend on the water, to the farmers who depend on the water. And so we get to just look at that and see, is this a part of the famine the Bible is describing? And therefore, what should we end up doing when we know that these are the conditions that are going on? And there again, I will go back to what I just said. We have mixed reports. We have reports of people who say, the rivers are fine. I saw them all my life, and I see they still have water. And there are other people who say, oh, the water that goes to the cities is the water level is decreasing, and the pickups, the pipe that supplies the water to the cities are almost to the point of not providing water. And there, again, it is one person saying one thing, another person saying another, whether it's the Ohio River, the Mississippi River, or a river in Mesopotamia, in Iran, in Israel, the rivers are having a uniform condition of a decrease of water flow. So one day, I have to think it will really affect us. But there again, I'm not at those rivers, and I cannot have a testimony. All I can do is listen to the testimony of the people who have it, and it's a mixed testimony. Some people say the water situation is serious. The people are having to ration their water. And then there are people who say, there's not a problem, I see the water. Well, we all get to have a judgment call on that one. And I know there's another part of this too, is that there are earthquake faults that there are those who seem to be studying the matter, and they say the faults under the rivers are cracking, and that's where the water is going. See, I don't know this, and the official people don't seem to be having a uniform consensus on this. But there is a question of water levels that are dropping drastically, and even in some California lakes and dams, the water level has been rising. Who do we listen to? Some people say there's no reason for it. Some people say it was because there was a good rain that happened. But somehow, with the aquifers, I think this could allow the water levels in the lakes and the reservoirs and the rivers to either increase dramatically or decrease dramatically. And while the reports are not consistent, there are reports about both things happening. And therefore, I think about what could be going on with the continental plates drifting around and causing the wells of the deep to either increase or decrease, the aquifers, or the sinkholes that happen after the aquifers get drained by 100 feet of water or more. There's sinkholes that are going on from Florida to California, from Syria to Greece. I mean, they're plenty of places where the sinkholes are appearing. And the scientific reports are not uniform about, in fact, they're greatly diverse. They don't talk about uniformity at all, but they talk about that there are problems, and we get to think about why could this be going on. I think of the earthquakes. I think of Matthew, Mark, and Luke talking about at the end of the age there will be earthquakes. And that means continents are going to move. That's another part. The islands will move out of their places. And it's a matter of what could be going on. I say get a little prepared with water, with food, with warmth. And today, there are things going on where countries are hurting each other. Oh, Iran is bombing Israel. Israel is bombing Iran. And there are countries that are destroying the desalinization plants that provide drinking water to the people. Yeah, that's going on in Israel and in Iran and in other Middle Eastern countries. The water is an issue. The water is something that we all have to know could become a dramatic issue in our future. There's only so much we can do if we're going to live in a city area or maybe even a suburban area. Where does the water come from? What would we do in America if there was another country or a religion that said America is the great Satan and we have to destroy America. How would that be done? Would that be done by destroying our water treatment plants or our food warehouses or our train systems that have food go from one place to another? We already know that the barges in the Mississippi River are restricted in the loads they carry because the water level is going down. There are other rivers like the Ohio that are just, they just don't have much water at all in them. So we can see there is a pattern, and we get to evaluate whether it will continue or not. Therefore, ask yourself, how can I get ready for what is coming? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that war and famine, pestilence, and earthquakes are coming? Now, maybe we have a short life, but there are people who would still benefit from our storehouse, our water filters. And so it's a question of what are we going to actually do to demonstrate the love of Christ to the people around us. I think that's something that is an individual decision. You get to decide it. I don't. But it's something that we all get to consider. How are we going to show love for one another in the midst of all the pressures and complications that are going on around us? What do we do if we live in a violent area or a land full of violence? How do we show love and compassion when we live in the threat of great violence? What do we do if there's terrorism around? How do we stay safe and show the love of Christ to the people around us? Sometimes we have to do a lot of thinking, don't we? Think it all out and make sure that we can actually fulfill the love of Christ in the world around us. Is it to supply Bibles and hymnals and water and food? What about a warm coat? What about a communication device or a community? These things are all good to have as we go through a time of difficulty. And somehow, we all get to figure what makes sense to have done. Where and what will our storehouse hold? It's a matter of individual decisions. We all make decisions. Are we doing it for Christ? Are we doing it for our own self? I mean, that's a matter of something we all have to look at also. Are we showing the love of Christ to other people because it will benefit us or because it benefits the kingdom of God? And that's something which God gets to judge us at the end of our life. Just make sure that you know what you're doing and that you're being true to Jesus Christ. As the things go on around us with society, with our government, and we have people who have all sorts of restrictions. Oh, we have restrictions in America. But all over the world there are restrictions about what we can possess. Are we hoarding food or are we storing up for a few months? It's a matter of, I guess the authorities will tell us, and ultimately God will be our judge. But we have things going on and we might want to be careful about what we are doing. Speaking of careful, there's some people who want to have, protection. And that protection might be through an aerosol spray. It might be through pepper spray or if you can't find that, it might be through bug spray at the store. I don't know. Everybody has ideas, and we might want to protect our home from invaders. Have a strong lock on the door, or even more than that, have a what is considered to be a safe room. And these are things that we all get to evaluate what makes sense for our life and our situation in the world. And where are we going to keep the food, water and food and warmth that we are preparing for a hard time? Where do we keep it? How much are we going to share? It's a question which every one of us has to consider, and it's best if we do that in advance. What do we need? What do we want? Don't forget, there will be people who need, they might need a hearing aid battery. They might need a wheelchair. They might need a toothbrush. And somehow, it's a matter of us having a little bit to share when things get difficult in this world that could certainly become brutal. This world, there are people in it who, well, they are brutal. And so we have to know how to protect ourselves, probably through being a community where we look after one another. Well, there are examples of what is in the world and the hope we have in Jesus Christ. It's amazing how people put their hope in government to protect them. And then government is protecting itself. And so it doesn't think so much about the citizens. I mean, you can look at that example all through history. Even in these recent days, it has been like that. The recent decades in every country. And right now, we have seen what's gone on with Iran, where the citizens protested against their Iranian government, and the government sent out enforcers. You can call them law enforcement people, but they enforced the will of the government upon the protesters. And so there were thousands of protesters that were killed by the authoritarian forces. The government, Iran, says that 5,000 people were killed, but there are Iranian citizens who say that there were 35,000 killed by those authoritarian forces. Things can happen in any government all over the world. As people rise up, who is going to actually demand freedom, demand responsibility, or even to have a republic become formed? And who will rise up against an authoritarian government? There's only so much you can do. Who has the power? Who has the, I guess you can narrow it down to guns too. Who has the guns? The guns were shot against the Iranian people all over the place. It's pretty well said that there were 30 to 40,000 people who were killed by government forces. And it's a big question to what makes a difference to any government. We know for the COVID lockdowns that there were, in some capitals, in quite a few capitals, there were tens of thousands of people who protested. But did that make a difference to the government? Not really. The government still continued with their lockdowns, and that is the way it was. So what makes a difference for the government to listen to the people? I think it is different in different countries, but you have to know that we want to protect the rights that our forefathers gave us in America. We have the Bill of Rights. We have God-given rights. And somehow, there might be a point when we, the people of America, have to stand up for our rights. That's something that could happen in any country, standing up for the rights of the people. It's true in America. It's true in any country of the world. So I didn't know I was going to be talking so much patriotism today. That's right. Some people might consider it the opposite of patriotism. But that's something which we all get to decide. What are we going to support? What are we going to actually do? Because it is the most important thing for us to actually support and do the will of God. And a part of the freedoms we have is a little bit different, but it does make a difference in how we are able to preach the Bible to people. We even had a revolution that was very concerned about that in America, the American Revolution. Now, the history books have a certain take on it, and that's why it is very beneficial to read the older history books that have a more extensive view about what happened in the American Revolution. Oh, that's an interesting thing for today, because there are people all over the world who are in revolution. They revolt against the government. And what happens? Change happens. Yes, does it take 5% of the population? That is what some people estimate happened in America. 5 or 6% of the Americans were, I'll call them radical revolutionaries. And they opposed the rule of England, and they opposed the taxes that were at that time about 5%. And what are our tax rates today? 25%, more or less. It's something that is going on, and we have to have an understanding of what we are going to do with our debt, with our government, and how this all relates to what is the most important, God's word, and what God tells us to do. Now, we have our great big huge national debt. It's approaching $40 trillion. Yeah, and I always think it's beyond our concept of huge, but I have put it in terms of how many seconds is it to just kind of get a grasp of it. 1 million seconds is 12 days. 1 billion seconds is 32 years. 1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years. And when you think of a national debt approaching $40 trillion, we are in trouble. And there's international law that will allow the bankers, the people who are owed the money, to claim the assets of America. It's kind of like foreclosure, just what happens in regular law. A institution can foreclose upon a property or a people when their debt is not paid. That has gone on in Egypt and in Greece also. And those people who were owed the money took over the assets of the country and imposed a fine upon the people. Oh, so if your water would cost $100 a month, they could impose an additional $100 a month until the debt was repaid. That has gone on in history, and that could very well be what happens in America. We are governed by law. What law are we governed by? Well, certainly the Constitution, but there's also commercial law. there's something called admiralty law. And admiralty law goes back to when there was international trade that went over the oceans between countries. And so admiralty law could be argued as the essential law of nations. In fact, it has been argued as that law. So it's a position that we could go back to Old English law and a form of our legal system that we live under. And that would allow the creditors to take over the assets of we the people of this country or any countries. And that's something that has gone on as we try to figure out how people get paid when they are owed money. And it is a matter of law. As I said, admiralty law is one thing. Oh, it's a whole other study, and I don't mean I know all the fact of it, but there are people who will talk about it. They will tell you that the flag makes a difference about what authority that court is under, like the courts of America. Do they have a national flag, or do they have a commercial law, a flag of an admiralty flag that has fringes around its edges? What law are they governed by? It's a question which we all may very well be faced with as there is a power struggle within countries. And I think of the power struggles that have gone on between capitalism and communism. I think of Joseph Stalin, who said, he said, this was about 1931, that it doesn't matter who votes, it only matters who counts the votes. Another communist, Chairman Mao Zedong, about 1938, said that political power comes out of the barrel of a gun. So we have all sorts of things at play that are trying to push us one way or the other. It is a certain power struggle, and it is a certain legal structure. The legal structure is in a fight, and the political structure is in a fight. So all these things are fighting for control of the resources that every country has. I don't really know what to say about that, except it is a power struggle going on right now in our very country and all over the world. And somehow, we get to be thoughtful and figure it out. Oh, I remember a Catholic priest I have known, and he said, we must be shrewd as we go through life. And he used that word, shrewd, in a godly and thoughtful way. And I think that's a matter of how people can be thoughtful and consider what goes on in this world and how we react to it. Just because we are Christians and kind people, it doesn't mean we need to ignore the thinking power that we have. We have an intellect. We have a brain that we can use to figure things out, including how we can be kind and loving to people. That's a part of what we use our brain for. It's not just plain old survival. It is everything that we value. Our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we value that. How do we preserve it in the midst of all this conflict that is going on in the world around us when people want to do violence to us? And there are some people who want to kill us. There are tensions all around. And so, will things suddenly turn difficult? Well, they could. They could. They have happened in other countries where we have had great struggles. The people of those countries have had great struggles. And a warehouse has been very good for them. A warehouse of what? Food? Water would be number one. You might need a water filter. You might need food. You might need a little bit of food and fuel to cook your food. And somehow, there are people who will need to have a camp stove and enough propane to cook your food. And what happens if there is a power struggle and the electricity is turned off, either intentionally or it runs out of what is needed to make electricity, or there is a terrorism event? Now, somehow, there are things going on. A little propane stove and propane would do. Several 5-gallon containers of propane. It's something that we have concerns about. And if there is the violence that some people talk about, we want to be careful with what we possess. And I'm thinking of our keys and our wallet that tells us where we would live. What if those were stolen from us? Would our family be safe? Well, we better think about those things because we want to protect the lives of the innocent, the lives of our family, and the community around us. We want to stay alert. We want to love and protect our neighbor using godly wisdom. And this is a part of how we do it. We think about things. And we also think about preparedness. Now, I do have my free preparedness page, which I invite you to send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll put it right back to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And think about preparing, because that's what we want to do, even in these days that are coming. There are days that are wonderful. There's days right now that are about Passover coming up, and we want to honor God's holy days. They are holy days, and somehow we call these holy days, which are different from holy days. So look at Leviticus 12:29 and see how important it is that we follow God's holy days and not the pagan customs. Well, God bless you and honor God. Love your neighbor in a godly way. God bless you.